grace, mercy, peace, and comfort be given to you from our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of God that we will be meditating upon this morning for your comfort, as well as to give you hope, is found in the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 1, verses 18 to 22, and chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. While he was still speaking, another also came and said to Job, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. Later on, Job said, "Oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." So as far as his word. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose again to give us eternal life, to fellow redeemed, and especially family and friends of Terry Bliss. In the well-known prayer which Jesus has taught us to pray, we offer up this petition to our Father in heaven. "Thy will be done as it is in heaven." This is a very brief petition and said so quickly, and I wonder how often we really give it a whole lot of thought as to what we are praying to God and asking him to do. And yet do we always think of it and fully understand God's good and gracious will for us and our loved ones, and then pray with a heartfelt resolve that we submit to God, "Thy will be done." What about those times when God and his governance of our lives, we were faced with difficult trials, tragedies, or loss of loved ones? Are we able to say to God the Father, "Thy will be done"? Look at the Old Testament believer Job, who was stricken with one tragedy after another in the space of a short period of time. He lost pretty much everything that he had, and he was a very wealthy man. Lost it all, including his health. Even though he didn't fully understand everything that lied behind it all, yet he was granted the grace to respond by saying to God, in effect, "Thy will be done." What about the matter of Terry, who was stricken with a deadly disease which cut short her earthly life? As God helps us to understand his good and gracious will for Terry, not only does God enable us to say, "Your will be done for Terry," but we also thank and praise his holy name, as did Job. In different ways, he provides us with a wonderful example of a Christian response to God's will for ourselves and our loved ones, and especially in time of death. Put yourself in Job's place. When he received the devastating news that he lost all of his children in a violent storm. And he had a lot of children. It happened so quickly, he had no time to be prepared for this huge loss. Job could have very easily become embittered toward God, thinking that God had coldly robbed him of the enjoyment and life of him and his children growing old together. But instead of blaming God for terribly wronging him and his children, Job quite amazingly was prompted to praise God. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How could Job have cause or reason to praise God in the midst of such great loss? As a child of God, when he raised his children, he raised them in the Christian faith. And so Job was able to praise God because of his understanding of God's eternal will for his children. The good and gracious will is that when God, in his infinite wisdom, brings our earthly pilgrimage to an end, we are ushered into the eternal realm of glory in heaven. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a delusion, because this has been revealed to us by God's inspired word, in which we find the absolute truth of God. And since God knows best when's the right time to call his children home to heaven, it's a matter of putting our faith and trust in him, in his timing, for us and our loved ones, whether it be in the early years, the middle years, or old age. Job quite naturally was filled with grief and sadness, and that could be seen by him taking his garment, just tearing them, and shaving his head. This was a sign of grief and sorrow and sadness. However, the tears he shed were for himself. They were not for his children. You know, thinking not of himself, but rather for the eternal welfare of his children, he thanked and praised God for giving them the ultimate blessing of taking them home to heaven. For those of you who are blessed with children, I know you want the very best for them. Can you think of anything better than to want your children to be in the Christian faith and taken home to heaven? Patty, I know you dearly loved and treasured your mother, as did also other family and friends. Having Christian love for Terry, which is the highest form of love, like Job, surely you wanted what was best for her. And according to God's all-knowing power, his infinite wisdom, as well as his loving kindness and tender mercies, what was best for Terry was to take her home to heaven before any of us. And since our Heavenly Father always knows what is best for us and our loved ones, we say to him in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." Your will be done, not mine. Terry is one who greatly appreciated the gospel in word and sacrament. The reason I can say this is that she faithfully came to Bible study and worship services on a weekly basis. Not hit or miss, not now or then, or occasionally, like Christmas or Easter time or whatever special day. She faithfully came every Sunday. She was one of the first ones that arrived at church on Sunday morning. She not only came early to get ready for Bible study or for worship services, but she also came early so that she had time to make coffee and put out food for others to enjoy. As Terry drew near to God in his house of worship and prayer, in order to hear that saving gospel and word and sacrament, the Lord in his rich grace and mercy drew near to her. He reminded Terry of the great love with which he had for her. How that in eternity he foreknew her and chose her. Not because he looked in the future and saw what a nice person she would be. He chose her because of what Jesus would do for her. To make it possible for her to become a member of God's eternal family, and that also in eternity, God in his love planned out the way for Terry to become a redeemed child of God and heir of heaven. The plan involves sending his only beloved son, Jesus Christ, into this world to live a perfect life for all of us, including Terry, so that she could be dressed with a white robe of righteousness that covers all of her imperfections, so that God was well pleased with Terry and looked upon her as a holy child. Holy child? You know, she was not perfect, but Christ's righteousness covered all her flaws so that God saw her as a holy child. It also involved Jesus suffering God's punishment for the sins of the world so that each and every day Terry could be comforted in the knowledge of God's full and free forgiveness for all her sins, every last one of them, and receive the gift of eternal life in heaven. What God planned out in eternity, our Savior Jesus willingly and lovingly carried out that plan for our eternal redemption. And that was not easy. If you study the life of Christ, especially the final days of his life, it was very difficult when he was faced with his enemies and bore our sins on the cross, tempted by the devil to come down from the cross, and yet he willingly endured all this for us. He was willing to accept God's will for him, for you and for me. And then he sent his Holy Spirit to create faith in our hearts so that we believe, we receive his priceless gift of forgiveness and are made members of God, members of his family for all eternity. How very important it is for us to be reminded of God's eternal plan and gracious will for us so that we're strengthened in our faith and we never lose our hold on eternal life, his eternal blessings in Christ Jesus. His gracious will for us gives us peace of conscience, joy of life, and the sure and certain hope of eternal life. This, more than anything, is what Terry and all of us need, especially when we're coming toward the end of our earthly stay. And knowing how precious this will of God is for us and for Terry, we say to our Heavenly Father, Thy will be done. When Job's health was stricken with a dreadful affliction from which there was no relief, and because of which he thought he'd die. He didn't curse God like his wife advised him to do. Neither did he fall into the feelings of hopelessness and despair. Rather, knowing by faith God's eternal plan and will for him, he made a beautiful confession. Confession of faith. And he wanted that confession of faith to be written down for future generations of time. Listen once again to Job's confession of faith. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That they were engraved in a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Job could stare death in the face and know that it was not going to be conquering him. And said because of what he knew about his Redeemer God, who would be coming in the person of Jesus Christ, Job would enjoy victory over death. According to God's eternal plan and will for him, because of Jesus' victorious death and resurrection as the Savior of the world, Job confidently believed that although he would die and his body would turn into the dust of the earth, yet on the great and final day of this world, Jesus would be returning from the clouds above, and he would be raising believers from the grave and change their bodies to glorified and perfected bodies. And he would see Jesus face to face. Job looked forward to that day with eager anticipation, saying, "How my heart yearns within me." He yearned for that day because he knew that a day was coming when Jesus returns, that Jesus would usher in a new, perfect earth. When I was young, I thought that when we'd be going to heaven, we'd somehow be floating around in the clouds. Wouldn't be a physical life. No. He's going to belt this place with a fervent heat, bring forth a new perfect world, a new perfect earth. A place where there'll never be again any sickness or disease, pain or suffering, sorrow or sadness, no more death. It will be a perfect world that will never end. Job also longed for the eternal day of heaven because he would be reunited with his loved ones and never again be separated from them. Knowing this eternal plan and will of God, Terry knew by faith that because of her living Savior and Redeemer, she had a bright and glorious future ahead of her. Beyond this life. Knowing this, Terry and all believers say to our Father in heaven, "Your will be done." While Job, with the gracious help of God, handled well the death of his children and his own impending death, he still had questions in his mind. Why? Why these grievous afflictions in life? And why now, at this point in his life? Some of his friends vainly tried to help him answer that question by telling him, "You know, Job, you must have committed some very grievous and dark sins, and God is punishing you for them." They couldn't have been further from the truth. As Christians, we know that because Jesus was punished for all of our sins, and God won't be punishing us for any of our transgressions. Paul made this beautiful declaration in his letter to the Romans concerning this, saying, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." From the book of Job, we know that Satan was behind the many different trials and tribulations that Job had to endure. He was trying to turn Job against God, put a wedge between them, so he'd no longer believe in his Savior and would lose his hold on eternal life in heaven. We also know from Holy Scripture that the curse of sin has brought all manner of problems in this life, including sickness and disease. All manner of problems. In the case of Job and all believers, we understand that God, in his infinite wisdom, goodness, and mercy, uses all these trials and tribulations to draw us closer to him and to strengthen us in our faith so that we never lose our hold on eternal life. It's important for us to ever keep in mind that everything that God does in the governance of our life is always to carry out his eternal will and purpose and plan for us. And what is it? What's God's will for you? Is that when you come to the end of your days, you believe in Jesus and you're taken home to heaven? So keep that in mind when you're going through difficulties, trials, and tribulations. God uses that to keep you close to him so that you're strengthened in your faith and never lose your hold on eternal life. Knowing this helps us to say to the Heavenly Father concerning all of his dealings in our life, "Your will be done." Since God brought to perfect completion his eternal will and plan for Terry, by receiving her into the eternal habitations of heaven through Jesus Christ, we thank and praise his holy name, just as Job did. And we say to him concerning ourselves, excuse me, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.